And all God's people said, amen. Great singing this morning. We praise the Lord for it. It's a delight to see you out in church this morning. John said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. And that song, Lord, I need you every hour. I need you every day. I need you, goes along with the fact that until we get to be together with the Lord forevermore in the air in that rapture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we need to come together corporately. We need to come together in praise Him. We need to come together in worship. We need to come together and hear the Word. And so that's why we're here today. Do me a great big favor and just stand up, would you please? We're in Colossians chapter 4, and I'd like for us to stand in honor of God's Word. And as we do that, Colossians 4, 16, 17, and 18. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of Laodicea. And that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. There was another epistle that did not make it into the canon of Scripture. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received. Archippus. The word Archippus means, or the name Archippus means, the master of the horse. Fits us, doesn't it? Horse master. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation is by my own hand. And then notice three words, only time he said it. In fact, in Colossians, he takes the pen, he's shaking, a lot of things going on in his life, physically, mentally, emotionally, and he says these three words, only time he says it, remember my chains. Remember my chains. Colossians 4, 18. Father, help us to remember what all those who have gone before us have gone through in order that we may have this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, and be seated if you would. We're going to be looking in Colossians 4, then we'll be in the book of Acts, and we're going to kind of be all over a little bit. But before we get there, I want to introduce the friends that we have here today. They got up awfully, awfully early and to be here. Dr. Douglas has been our dentist for 30 years. And Dr. Rick, and this is his son, the J-Man, Jared. This is Coop. Coop is the brain trust. He's the smart one of the bunch. And this is AJ, the oldest of. Now, they have a whole bunch more kids. They couldn't put them all in one car. And this is Daddy Mark and his sweet wife, Miss Molly. But AJ, stand there and let the folks meet you. He is headed off. He'll be headed 3 months into YWAM camp in Colorado Springs. YWAM is a tremendous missionary organization, has been for years and years. And then he'll leave and he'll go to Africa where he'll be in missionary training. And so he kind of liked that taking a bow, didn't he? Yeah, that's pretty cool. And so today, about 9 years ago, there's a story that is told in this little book, but one of the young men in our church came home. He was a professional welder, came home, sat down in his recliner and died, was not married, and he loved boys, and he would take them hunting and fishing, and we started a ministry called Hank's Helping Hands, and every year we would give scholarships to boys and girls who were living for the Lord, headed off onto school. Long story short of it, 9 years later, we're still doing those kinds of things. So this morning, I wanted to introduce my book to you, The Reflections of Life from the Tree Stand and the Trout Hole. AJ's going to be back there at the book table, and all the money we receive from the book, I don't ever get a penny from it or take anything from it, but we'll be going to him to help pay for his missionary training. So if you'd like to go back to the book table and pick that up for $7 or two for $12, you'll be helping AJ, That's basically why they're here today, to let y'all know about him and to be praying for him. And we love this family. We really do. God has blessed us through that relationship. Let's get to it, shall we? Chains, chains, chains. Here is Paul. He's in Colossians chapter 4. He's at the end of his life. He is broken physically. Now, we know he's been beaten three different times. We know he's been set off in buckets over the top of the city wall. We know that he's been whipped and run out of town so many times. He's tired, he's broken, and he begins this deep reflection about what he's saying to this church at Colossae. And as he does it, he looks down and he's about to write the closing, and he sees these chains. And as he sees the chains, because they had the Praetorian Guard there, and the Praetorian Guard, they kept him bound all the time. he looks down and he sees these chains. And he says to the church to tell Archippus, the horse master. Now, Archippus was probably Philemon's either his son or his brother, but part of the family of Philemon. And he says to him, you tell Archippus to finish the ministry he was called to do. And see, every one of us are called. Every one of us are called to do something. No one was called to sit here. I can tell you that. This is something special that we get to do. We are called to minister, everyone. And you say, I don't know what my ministering gift is. And that's why you need to keep coming to church and find out what it is that God has for you and your spiritual gifts. But Paul looks to the church and he looks to the horse master. He says, you remind him, remember these chains. Now, why the chains? Why couldn't he say, remember what I went through? Why couldn't he say, remember all the hard times? Why couldn't he say, remember all the blessings of starting the church in the home there at Colossae? Why couldn't he say, remember the revival? Why couldn't he say from the book of Acts, remember when we would walk through the streets? Why couldn't he say, remember when the young man fell out of the barn at midnight and I breathed over him a prayer and he came back to life? Why couldn't he say, why this? So this morning we're going to look at maybe three or four, if we have time. What happens when chains? There are chains that are first placed on us by other people. Chains that are placed on us by other people. Everyone else have it. Paul says in Acts chapter 26, verse 29, I could wish to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also those who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for the chains. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to Felix and Agrippa, the kings. He's headed to Rome. In fact, Agrippa says to Festus, he says, you know, had he not appealed to Caesar, I believe I could have got him off. This is that great chapter by which Paul gives the treaties. And he said, I wish not only you, governor, but everyone could be like me. Now, what he's talking about is his relationship with Christ. He's not talking about the chains because the next word says, except for the chains. I don't wish anyone else to have to be to go through this. But you see, oftentimes chains are placed on us by others for a reason and for a purpose. If you're under a chain, you're under someone else's authority. Now, today we talk about racism. In fact, they have cheapened the word to the point that it means absolutely nothing. Everyone is called a racist if you do not agree with anyone else. We're not talking about the ridiculous political tones of what racism is. We're talking about what slavery genuinely is. Those who were bound by chain, whose freedom only went to the end of a chain. When we consider that others have placed chains on us, those are limitations. We have to learn to live within our limitations and because chains are placed on us. So because of Paul's influence of these chains, in fact, most of the influence that Paul had and the impact that Paul had came as a result of someone placing limitations on him. You know why we can't do everything we want to do? I mean, no one does everything they want to do except very, 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 very spoiled children. But they're not doing what they want to do. They're doing what they think they want to do. You know, the sound that is missed most today in child rearing is the speed of a leather belt going through seven Wrangler straps. That's what's missing today. Shoo. A daddy that can pull a leather belt through seven belt loops and get the job done. Learning to live inside that limitation. All of us have those things. All of us do. And because of that, our impact and our influence that we're having on others, they're placed there by other people. And so in the book of Acts, when the governor says to the emperor, you know what? I almost believe. Paul, you've almost convinced me. Now, the other, Festus didn't say that. He said, I think you're mad. He said, much learning hath made you mad. But not the other one. He was convicted of the Holy Spirit. He was convicted by what these chains had done. See, learning to live within your limitations will teach you a lot of good lessons. You can't do everything you want to do. You can't do everything you say you're going to do. We overpromise and underdeliver as churches. We overpromise and underdeliver. You know, the world is going crazy. I was driving up, Jan and I were yesterday, and I looked at Taco Bell. They're selling French fries. I went a little bit further up, Burger King selling tacos. Drive a little further on the left-hand side, KFC is putting Cheetos on the chicken sandwiches. The world's going flap-dab crazy. And the more it does, and churches are doing the same thing, trying to be people that they're not. I'm not going to go to Taco Bell to buy my French fries. And I'm not going to Burger King to buy my tacos. See, when you come to this church, whether you're a cowboy, cowgirl, a biker, or just a normal human being, a regular human being with no faults and habits or hobbies, what you are to get is from God and His Word, and the influence and the impact that we may have on you is becoming of our limitations. It's becoming of our limitations. All of us have them. And chains have been placed there by others. Over in Acts chapter 12, chains actually placed Peter exactly where he wanted him to be. This is a great story in Acts chapter 12. He's sound asleep. And the scripture says that he's between two guards. He's chained to two of them. And he's sound asleep. An angel comes in and has to wake him up. And when he wakes him up, Peter looks around. What's going on? The angel says, "Rise up." The chains fall off. And Peter leaves the prison. There's another great story with the book in the book of Acts with Paul, where Paul and Silas are in the prison. It's midnight. An earthquake comes. They're all in chains, and they're singing and they're praising God for what is going on because of these limitations that have been placed upon them. And the scripture says the earthquake came and the jailer was going to kill himself. Paul says, "Do yourself no harm. We're not going anywhere. We know where we are, where we're supposed to be." You want to know what makes these chains? Learning to live within your limitations, even though chains have been placed there sometimes by others, is that it teaches us where we're supposed to be and to bloom where we are planted, where we're supposed to be. Now, the whole concept then is some chains are placed there by others, and they're not going anywhere. There's a story named Wayne Kimbrough. He was in Manila. He was a steel worker. And he was asked by the Manila City Police, because he was so good as a steel worker, to build a portable cage, a jail that they could take into town when people were rioting or whatever. And so he, on his off time, he built the jail for them. The moment they paid him, he got a bunch of his friends and he got drunk. Who do you think the first person wound up in the thing that he built himself? You see, that is what a bad habit can cause us to do. It puts chains on us. That's the second portion of chains. Some chains are placed there by others, but number two, some chains are put there by ourselves. Some chains are put there by our own thinking. Some chains are put there by our own rebellion. And Wayne got to sit in his own jail that he made. And don't you know, he had a good story. See that whale there? Isn't that cool? I did that. We place ourselves in our own chains. When a little boy grows up or a little girl grows up all her life and she is told by a parent or a grandparent, "You're never going to be any good. You're never going to be any good. You're too dumb. Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? You're never going to be any good at anything." When they grow up with that sort of a chain being placed upon them, that is what they believe. That's what they think. It'll take all of their life to get that out of them. God did not call us to place the chains on other people unless it's a divine chain. But when we place them on ourselves, it's even worse. I don't know if you've ever been to a circus, but when I was a little boy, Barnum, Bailey, Ringling Brothers, or however it was said, came to Fort Smith, Arkansas one time, and my mama got us tickets. I was so excited. We went to Fort Smith at the fairgrounds there, and we got to see this great big circus. I saw this huge elephant. And they had one chain around its back left foot. Wasn't any bigger than this. Now you wonder how in the world that one little chain that was driven about 3 foot deep could hold that elephant. I found out the answer why. Because when that elephant was a baby, they had that same chain, and that elephant would pull and pull and pull until it would bleed, until the leg itself became inflamed and infected so that he would never pull again. That's how you keep a 10-ton elephant where you want him, is by making him believe that he can no longer escape. Do you see the point I want to make about what Satan does to us in bad habits when we place these chains upon ourselves? We are an addicted culture. An addicted culture means we can't do anything in moderation. Even the pills that they give us that are supposed to help us, we now take in large amounts in order to stop pain, in order to stop hurt, and we continue to place chains. If you'll look, driving up and down the roads, there is a casino literally on every corner in Arkansas and Oklahoma, and the states are benefiting from it. The states are getting more and more tax revenue from it, and so everyone kind of looks the other way. This is a good thing. But if you live on the other side of it in church life, you see the brokenness, the broken homes. You see the fellows who believe that they're, because they're 3 months behind on rent, that they go in there, one big lucky roll, one big lucky punch, one lucky card, and I can catch up and pay all my bills. And that's the chains that we are putting ourselves in, a foolish, addictive culture. I mean, we can't stop with anything, everything. That's why pornography is literally destroying not only the world, but the church as well. Literally every day I hear of another church leader falling because of a moral condition, a moral clause. And we put ourselves in these chains. No one else is doing it. We do it to ourselves. And so when Paul, he looks at these chains, he said, you remember them. Remember them for good, because some chains are placed upon us for a purpose by other people, and we learn to live within this limitation. Some chains are placed there by ourselves. And go with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 4. Beautiful scripture, a beautiful analogy. And now look, I free you this day from the chains that were on your hands. If it seem good to you to come with me to Babylon, come, and I will look after you. But if it seem wrong for you to come with me to Babylon, remain here. Whenever it seems good and convenient for you to go, then go there. This is God speaking to Israel. This is Jeremiah who has been in these chains. Now I set you free. Make up your mind. A lot of the Jews did not want to go to they wanted to stay in Jerusalem, protect their businesses and protect their homes and keep their lands and their flocks and their herds. And so there was a choice given. You can go over into Babylon in captivity, or you can stay here and be in captivity. But make up your mind. Some chains are placed there by other people. We understand that. We saw it with the Apostle Paul, who said in all of his writings, he wrote almost all 16 books of the Bible, folks, with his hands chained up, placed there by others. Then we see the chains that are placed there by our own thinking. Now make up your mind, says Jeremiah. God's done with us here. Make up your mind. Where do you want to go? And you know, you want to break a habit. You want to break a habit. A habit is a chain. In fact, Samuel Johnson, who compiled the first American dictionary ever, said this: a habit is so small you cannot feel it in the beginning, but so strong that you cannot break it in the end. And that's what happens to us. How many believers do you know right now that are outside of the church? They're just out, maybe out of fellowship with God, out of fellowship with family, out of just not, they're believers. There's no doubt about it. They're going to heaven, but they don't go to church anymore. Did you know that you could not get every Christian in every church in Heber Springs if every believer got up this morning and said, I'm going to church? The churches would not hold them. Churches would have to do 4 and 5 services if just the believers came, not the world. And so when I look at us, when I look at me, when I look at everything that we hope we stand for and hope to model in Jesus Christ, I recognize that there are those who are on the outside. But this place was built just as much for those on the outside as for those who are already on the inside. Do you believe that? You have to believe that. Or it's just kind of a closed club. We might as well eat meat like the elks and the moose and the goose clubs. This church exists as much for those who are at the arena or at the social club and the dancing thing on Saturday night down by where I live. It's got to be as just much for them as it is for us holy and pure people, the righteous, the redeemed. Some chains are placed there by others. Some chains are placed there by our own thinking, by our own rebellion. Lastly, some chains are put there and placed there by Satan. Psalm 107, verse 10, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and chains because they rebelled against the Lord. Now, Satan has a purpose, folks. Book of John says that he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his outward purpose on everything that happens. Everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. Everything that God has that is holy and righteous, Satan has one that is counterfeited with the opposite goal in mind. Everything that God is doing in our life, he has a counterfeit for. And so some chains are placed on us by Satan himself. 2 Peter, the angels, how that God spared them not, but has them unto everlasting chains. He's not going to change his mind in that judgment. Paul says it, Peter says it, that these chains are everlasting for Satan. Satan has a purpose. And Paul said in Ephesians 6, I am an ambassador in my chains. This is what got him to Rome. This is what got the gospel message and the book of Romans written for the entire world. These chains put him on the boat, gave him his ticket, and there he stands before the leaders of the world. I am, Ephesians 6, an ambassador in chains. I pray for us also that God would open a door for the word to speak, the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in chains. Chains always symbolize that someone is over you. So in some sort of an unwritten way, folks, we are chained to the Lord. Now that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. You know, freedom is a wonderful thing that is abused and taken for granted. And I know when we say the Pledge of Allegiance and we stand together and we sing America the Beautiful, we sing the patriotic numbers and the songs, it makes us feel good to be an American. We honor our veterans and all of those wonderful things. But you see, that's not the core of freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The core of freedom is what God in his finished work in Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen? And because of that, we have been set free. Well, you want to get over some habits, bad habits that have you chained? There are four things you can do. Four things that you ought to do. Not in the notes, so. One. If you want to get out of a bad habit that has you chained, remember who you are in Jesus Christ every day. You need to get up every day and remember who you are in him. See, the only saving factor to every one of us is not how good I'm going to get before I die. The only saving factor for every one of us is to remember the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he has already done. That's what keeps me good. That's what makes me good. Is his finished work. I remember that he gave his life for me. I was 10 or 11 years old, Roseville Baptist Church, Vacation Bible School. Johnny Dar was the pastor, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. From that moment on, I have been living in the limitation of the chains of the gospel. And you have too, from your conversion experience on. But I know who I am in Jesus Christ. You need to remember that every day. Who I am in Jesus Christ. I don't really like Hollywood much, and I don't like the way they are an organization and an institution or a profession that is enamored with looking at themselves and giving themselves awards. I've never seen an industry that is so bent on giving each other awards. Because the more awards you get, the more camera time you get, the more camera time you get, the more that you get. And then my sister was a beauty queen. She was the beauty queen of every county that surrounded us. And I grew up under her, and she had the wave down. You know, she would sit on the back of a car from somebody. She was the Logan County Fair Queen, the Franklin County Fair Queen, and runner-up for a Sebastian County Fair Queen. And she had this. By the time she was 15 years old, she could do this. I hate that. And I hated to go to the pageants. And I hated every bit of it. Still do. I don't mean that in the wrong way. I mean, if you want to go, you go. But have you ever noticed, though, there's not a size 12 Miss America? You know what I'm saying? A size 14? It's all about All about this image, isn't it? Here we go. I don't know where that came from or why I said it. Just don't hold me guilty on it. When you're enamored with yourself, same thing with bodybuilders. If you're going to these, a lot of these gyms, you look in the one wall and there's bodybuilder guys are over there in the corner with the windows and then with the mirrors, and they keep, they look at themselves all the time. Stay away from those boys. If you're enamored with you and your looks, and you live for the invitation of people, look at me, please, look at me, notice me, please. You need to remember who you are in Jesus Christ. You are somebody in Him and His finished work. Number one, you want to get rid of a bad habit. You want to break a chain. Remember who you are. Number two, rely on God's strength and not yours. No one can break a habit. I tell you, in my entire lifetime, I have lost 973 pounds. I lose 20 and gain 10. Anybody else identify with that? I have ketoed, Atkinsed my way to starvation. You want to break a bad habit, you better rely on God's strength. People say, how'd you lose that weight? Just be hungry. And they say, ooh, try this. It tastes just like pizza. They're lying to you. They're lying to you. You want to break a bad habit, folks, you got to do it in His strength. You got to actually pray, Father, I'm overweight and I need your help. I can't do it. I can't drive by any of these places without stopping and getting a double or a big or an added fries. That's just me. Father, I need help. Look, if we are weak in one area of our life, we're opening up the doors to be weak in every area of our life. If we can't make up our mind one way, and that's like when a believer says, hey, I've been in ministry, folks, almost 50 years. Brother Biddy, I don't think there's anything you and I, any excuse you and I have not heard in your 50 years as well. Preacher, I'd love to be there. I just can't because fill in the blank. But you seem to be able to be everywhere else and do anything else in town. I don't know how dumb you really think we are. What I figured out is folks do pretty much whatever they want to do, sick or not. Here's my point. You want to break a habit, you better do it in God's strength. If you're out of the habit of getting into church, having your family in church, you better get God's strength, because apparently we're not strong enough to do it on our own. He said, in your weakness, my strength is perfected. What does that mean? Stronger the chain is, the more you rely on Him, the better off you're going to be. Let Him break it. Years ago, I was a staff evangelist at a church in Tulsa. We had a guy, and he was famous for this, but he would come to big youth meetings and all, and he would lay down, and he'd have a little Volkswagen run over him. His stomach was so hard that a Volkswagen would come up and run over him, and then they would go to a medium-sized car, and then they would have a truck. And the truck would take two wheels. And every time I go, oh, it's a horrible to look at. But that stomach was so hard. And then he'd allow boys to come up and just punch him. All he wanted to do and stuff. Now, I picked up a paper a couple years later, and he died of an intestinal inflammation. Probably wasn't the smartest ministry to have in town, but he did well with it. Most of us are just not that tough. We're just not that tough. If you want to break a chain, you better get it in God's strength. Three, fight the lies by focusing on His truth. Listen, Satan is a liar. Satan is a fight the lies. He lies to you every day. You can't, you can't, you can't. I won't be able to. I'll never be happy again. I'll never find anyone again. No one would ever be interested in me. Fight the lies by staying in the truth. Now, Satan is a liar. And he wants to make us think that we're paupers when he knows himself. We're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith. The battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen and the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For those chains that seem to bind you will serve only to remind you. They'll drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Praise the Lord. You want to break a habit? You want to break the chain? Some of them are there because they need to be there. Some of them are there because of your thinking. Some of them are there because Satan's planted chains for us. But you want to break a bad chain, the first thing you do is surrender that heart. Would you stand together with me? Bow your head and close your eyes. Like the man who built the jail cell and got to live in it himself, we too place ourselves in prisons. The Bastille prison was being dismantled in France. They were taking the prisoners out. Some had been in there more than a decade. Some were still in chains. And one man was brought out of the Bastille prison. And you would think he would rejoice. But instead he said, please take me back. I can't stand the light. All my friends are dead. My legs won't move. I'd rather just stay in the dark. You and I will witness to people and see people. And we'll be given opportunity to witness to people that are in the dark. John says that men love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. And we've learned to get used to the dark. We just got used to it. God has called us to be light. God has called us to be salt. And so I think it's time every one of us take a look as believers of some of the chains that we put ourselves into and some that have been placed on us for a purpose, for a greater purpose than what we understand. Chains. Chains. Under the control of someone else. Paul said, I've become an ambassador in my chains, and I know everybody's coming to look at me in these chains, but I've become an ambassador for Christ through these chains. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're in this room and you need to come to Jesus Christ right now, confess your sins to Him. Tell Him you're a sinner. Agree with Him what He said about you, that you're a sinner. That's all confession is. You can confess Him right where you stand. You can confess Jesus Christ right where you are. Do you need to confess Him? This moment, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. You know it and I know it. I've never confessed it. Lord, I confess you to be my Lord this very day. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. I hold only to the blood that you shed for me. I ask you to forgive me. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, but if that's you and you prayed that confession just then, you say, preacher, that's my prayer. I just prayed it. Would you lift your hand and let me know that? Preacher, I just prayed that prayer. I just prayed and asked Jesus to receive me. Okay? Okay? Three of you this morning have said, I've just prayed asking Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. The Bible says, confess Him. Confess Him before men. The next thing you need to do is not about your salvation, but it's sure about the assurance, is to tell someone. This morning we stand here at an altar. If you have prayed to receive Jesus Christ, then you should come and take our preacher by the hand and say, preacher, I just asked Jesus Christ into my heart and life. Now, how many of you have family member that you know have been chained up because of their thinking? They've got themselves chained up right now. Let me see your hands. You've got family with chained up. Then the altar is open for you this morning to come and pray the Holy Spirit will remove those chains. Now, how many of you this morning are chained to a greater purpose? You know that God has you chained for a purpose. He's not going to let you go, and you're not getting it done. Then this morning, there needs to be an altar by which you submit to that chain, to that shackle. Father, I pray that you help us now. May there be a liberty of the Holy Spirit as we seek to honor you with obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. If you lifted a hand a moment ago, more than 35 or 40 people said, I've got family, I've got loved ones who are chained up because of bad thinking. I want us to unite as a church. I want us to come to this altar today and pray that those chains can be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe He can? I believe He can too. You slip out as God honors and blesses that obedience. You need to come to this altar. You come. If you prayed to confess Jesus Christ a moment ago, preacher's out here. You tell him, I ask Christ into my heart today. Then you need to come. Father, we do worship you and we do honor you this day, and may the chains that are there be placed by others, may they have a greater purpose in our life. May the chains that are about us that need to fall off, fall away. I pray in your strength we'll be able to. And may we encourage one another to get out of the habits that cause so much problem. I pray that we'll be stronger for having heard the word today. I pray that we'll be more obedient when we realize that we too can be an ambassador in the chains and limitations that you placed us in. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure to get up and meet this sweet family. And AJ's going to be back there at the book table. And even if you don't care so much about the stories, I think it'd be a great, great thing for you to help AJ. God bless you.
We're going to wait a few minutes to start the men's and women's classes, so Bob would probably autograph those books for you. So spend a little time and get to know AJ, okay? You're dismissed.